We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, our gospel this morning is about an intentional trip that Jesus takes across the Sea of Galilee. He had been preaching and teaching and healing in the Jewish territory on the west side of the sea, but now he and his disciples get in a boat and go to the east side. And on the way, they encounter a terrible storm. Jesus is sleeping during it, and you didn't hear that reading this morning, but it's what precedes our reading today. The disciples, in their fear, wake Jesus. He calms the storm and teaches them about faith. Then they get to the other side. And once there, Jesus encounters this man possessed by many demons, whom we heard about, who lives nameless there and without clothes among the tombs in the cemetery. He comes to Jesus, who rids him of his demons, and now he becomes whole. He's a new person, and he wants to follow Jesus and go with Jesus now wherever Jesus is going. But Jesus says, no, you need to stay here, and you need to stay at your home. And so Jesus, he does stay, and Jesus and the disciples go back to the other side while the man lives out his faith in his hometown. Well, as I just mentioned, seven of us returned last evening from an intentional trip to bring the goodness of Jesus to another place where there are many demons. You saw Keith LaSant and Sylvia Rogers, as well as Donna Erickson and Clark Hotelling, and Glenn Dunn and Rudy Waltz and myself be commissioned for this trip 2 weeks ago. And as we made this trip, it wasn't too hard to... I don't mean to tag the place that we went to as a place that is especially filled with demons, as we went to the work on the reservation, and to think that that place in particular is possessed by demons. All of our communities can be tagged that way. Many demons linger and hang out in our communities, taking away hope and quality of life and health and bringing poverty and addiction. There's always a balance to be played out between helping close to home and letting others further away be aware of our care for them. And normally we do that where hopelessness and poverty are rampant. And because often the community conditions that are the way they are is because others have treated them in a bad way, which has led to the circumstances in which they find themselves. Unlike the mission of Jesus, there was no great storm that came to us on the way to get there. Didn't prevent us from getting there ever anything. Although out of the more than a dozen years that the trip has been done, there's been often flooding by storms, which has caused us to reroute. And this year we had to reroute on the way home because there was flooding in eastern Nebraska. Well, many think that this storm that Jesus and his disciples encountered was inserted by Luke to remind the Christians that there are storms wherever you go, to bring the love of Jesus. There's always maybe some controversy, some hard situation to be encountered wherever you're in that kind of mission work. As disciples and missionaries, we are not to be surprised by the fact that there may be some resistance, there may be some stormy weather in the mission that we do. But we rather should expect rough waters and to expect to be encountered in faith when we go to do the work of our Lord. Well, as Christians, we find a tension also between going away to act and speak in the name of Jesus and staying home and doing it amongst those who are close to us. Jesus said to us, go and bring the gospel to all nations, but he also told the man in our story to stay home and work within his own community. Jesus didn't tell us directly, each one, what to do. We must follow our own callings, being honest with ourselves and with our faith as we do so. Well, this group from Emmanuel Episcopal and Soften with Christ Lutheran have been going to the Rosebud Reservation since about the year 2000. And the benefit of going to the same place each year is not just to build up consistency and reliability, but also to build up friendship and genuine love and care with the people who are there. And another tension we talked about this week is the pull between spending time with the people who are there in conversation with them, but also wanting to accomplish something tangible while we're on site. We feel called both ways. We ask God to help us to find the balance as we work with people and also work with our hands. And there are many deep problems in the Lakota community. There is deep poverty, strong feelings of depression, repressed anger, and the escapes through abuse, especially meth now, of various substances, and suicides as well. Many families are broken, and many children are not given good environments in which to flourish. While the land is beautiful, it's not always so good for crops because it is so sandy. And, of course, many of the choices have not been made by the Lakota community. They were once a proud and cohesive community with systems of government and family health. As they roamed the territory of central South Dakota and Nebraska and northern Kansas, they lived from the land and from the once plentiful buffalo. And as their source of food was slaughtered by the incoming whites and their lands were diminished to small, second-rate areas, it became hard for them. This week, after many of the reports came out about the Orlando attack as being the worst mass shooting in America, the headline writers were reminded that at Wounded Knee, South Dakota, just a few miles from where we were, some 300 women, children, and men were killed by United States soldiers without provocation in a mass shooting as late as 1890. There have been worse mass shootings. And the man Jesus encounters is forced by the townspeople to live among the tombs in the graveyard. They don't want him close to them, interrupting their lives. Yet he comes out to meet Jesus, and he is transformed. And the Lakota people have been forced to live in the shadows of America's monument, Mount Rushmore, like a giant gravestone etched in the mountain that once belonged to them. We pray that both by changes in living conditions and policy, changes can be made in their lives. Some of these tough situations are economic. We hosted a dinner on Wednesday evening for the owner and workers of Trade Winds Cooperative, a small business that makes quilts. The initiator and CEO of this business is a woman of the area who happens to be white and Lutheran, who recognized the importance of quilts in the Lakota culture as well as the American taste for them. We visited her little factory and showroom about the size of three double garages put together where the designs are made and sewn. She employs about 15 in the shop, men and women from age 17 to 70, both, and about 10 people who work in their own homes doing sewing for her. They make quilts for beds to fit anywhere from cribs to king-size beds, and they can incorporate team colors or whatever a customer wants. She's begun to use Etsy and other ways to market her goods. She does this in Parmalee, a very small and poverty-stricken town, but with lively Episcopal and Lutheran churches. A prevalent problem on the reservation is the abuse and misuse of women. Many find the need for refuge and shelter. One of the main places of refuge and shelter is White Buffalo Calf Women's Center. Request came to our group to build a small peace garden in the lawn of this shelter. It was made in a circular shape and has walkways in it, and four benches are being installed around it. It will be a place to meditate and to find personal peace, space and a personal peace in the midst of chaos as the women are able to sit around the attractive garden. Some 30 women and 17 children normally, roughly, live at the center at one time, where space is shared among them. They all share different rooms in the shelter. A way to have personal space in this place of many people in a small quarters will be to be able to go to this little peace garden and find a sense of peace themselves as they have a moment of personal space. Our group, led by Sylvia, did the main construction on this. Others will follow this next week to do the planting of the garden and the painting of the benches. And while a woman was giving me a ride to the hardware store to pick up parts for a project we were working on, a council chairman of one of the congregations in Parmalee told me how she was raising her three grandchildren, how she assisted a teenage girl to locate in this White Buffalo Calf Women's Center, and how generally teen suicide is so frequent and so prevalent on the reservation. one of the projects we were asked to work on was to repair the baseball field near the mission station so it could be used again by young people. The backstop was all bent and in disrepair, and the dugouts had poor roofs and bad protective screens. So Keith was prominent in making repairs so that it could be functional and more visually pleasing. The first night it was usable. A team came to practice. The second night, two teams came to scrimmage. And the grounds were full of cars as they pulled up to watch what was going on. And moms and dads got out of their cars, put blankets between them on the ground, and began to talk with one another. If the community can be built in little ways, and if the youth can find ways to express their energy and to excel at things such as sports, it builds a healthier psychological base for the whole community. These were the main projects we did, but there were many scheduled conversations with others we have met over the years, mainly through the Habitat for Humanity houses that have been built. In each conversation, we hope to walk with them in their joys and sorrows, difficulties, and share some of the hope and healing that Jesus provides. We noticed on the way home yesterday coming through Missouri that MoDOT has their normal traffic signs set up this weekend to say, "Dads, be a good example. Use your seatbelt." Numerous studies have shown how effective fathers are as they lead by example. And this is particularly true for church attendance. Dads are effective through example, but we all are as Christians. Jesus told the man who had been exorcised of his demons to stay home, live out his faith there, to be a good example in his hometown with the Gerasenes. While there's always been a component of Christianity which goes out to the world, we're reminded in this lesson of how it always starts with us at home. Life of faith starts out as it is taught and as it is observed at home. The life of thankfulness for which Jesus has done for us, forgiving the demons in each one of us, starts at home also. We know that within 5 miles of where we are today, there is much work to be done. There are demons to be fought back in the name of Jesus so that lives and families and communities can be whole. And this story was about Jesus going over to the Gerasenes. They were Gentiles. They lived on the other side. They were as far distant in all their thinking and all their ways as Jesus' people, the Jews, were on the other side. Normally, they were to be avoided. But Jesus makes a pointed trip to go across a lake and a difficult journey to be with these people who are like the exact opposite of them. So Jesus is teaching us something there. Go to where the others are, no matter how different they may be from you. And so this is a reminder to us in this week of sorrow about violence done because of intolerance, that a big part of doing our work at home is building not just tolerance, but building acceptance of others, even as it may involve being uncomfortable, just as the man healed by Jesus was not appreciated by his townspeople, even after he was exorcised. We pray for God's help to live out the wholeness and forgiveness that we have received to be emissaries of God's love and hope for the world. Amen.